In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, at the hour of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Paul and Terry.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you. Reading from Holy Gospel according to John. When he left, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. God is glorified in him. God will also glorify him in himself. He'll glorify him at once. My children, I'll be with you only a little while longer. You'll look for me, as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now, I say to you, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Gospel of the Lord. We're going to move into number 116. It's the prayer of St. Faustina. She says, My Jesus, you know what my soul goes through at the recollection of these sufferings. I have often marveled that the angels and saints hold their peace at the sight of a soul suffering like that. Yet they have special love for us at such moments. My soul has often cried out after God as a little child who cries as loudly as he can when his mother covers her face and he cannot recognize her. O my Jesus, honor and glory to you for these trials of love. Great and incomprehensible is your mercy. All that you intended for my soul, O Lord, is steeped in your mercy. Okay, 3 points in 116. Okay, God sends us trials and sufferings even though we resist. We kick and scream, so to speak. Trials and sufferings are good for us. You have to have faith to believe that. Trials and sufferings are good for us. And when we have them, we complain. We say, why me? But okay, I'll prove it. Once you've gotten through the trial, the suffering, you see how much good that comes out of that if we can see it in the light of faith. I was thinking of a physical trial I went through about a year ago, and now when I meet people that have some physical malady, I'm much more compassionate, really, because I went through something. Not exactly what they went through, but it really makes you much more compassionate. And say, for example, a woman has breast cancer, and you go through a very painful operation and recovery, and then 10 years later, you meet a young woman that that is diagnosed with breast cancer, you're going to be much more compassionate because you went through it. You went through it. So God allows sufferings, whatever they might be, to purify us, to sanctify us, and to make us holy, and detach us from this world, because we're made for heaven. Now, life is short, we're made for heaven. Your second thing I'd like to mention, and this number is when you are going through these torments, try to talk to the angels and the saints. This is a wonderful catechesis, this diary, and every number for me is a rich theological treatise and practical catechetical guide, at least for me. Get in the habit of talking to the angels and the saints. They're real. I may have mentioned this earlier. Padre Pio was, as a child, he was talking to someone, and someone asked him, "Well, who are you talking to?" He said, "I'm talking to my guardian angel." And the person said, "You see your guardian angel?" He said, "Of course. You don't see yours?" Take that as a guide. You may not have the physical vision of your guardian angel like Padre Pio, but he's there. Have a time every day that you talk. You have a specific time every day in which you talk to the angels and you talk to the saints. Have a set time. What I do is when I'm walking from the rectory to morning prayer, if you see me somewhat standoffish, that I don't want to talk with someone that's walking, because those are the 3 minutes I talked about, probably about 10 angels and saints. So that's my time I talk. I say a prayer to Our Lady Guadalupe, I pray to St. Joseph, I pray to St. Michael, I pray to St. Raphael, I pray to St. Gabriel, I pray to St. Ignatius, I pray to St. Faustine, I pray to St. Therese, St. Teresa, and John Bosco. No? So those are my 3 minutes that I try to do that every day. And it gives a lot of peace, a lot of strength. So probably as Catholics are pretty weak in what I'm talking about now, pretty weak, no? Probably most of you don't talk to the saints and angels that much. Probably not. But be converted. It is an article of our faith that the angels and saints do exist. No? I noticed I was giving a talk to the nuns. I'm giving a talk to nuns online the past 3 months, Tuesday morning, and in a 55-minute talk, usually I'm quoting or mentioning saints at least 15 times. So that's kind of par for the course. I love the saints. I love to read about them. I love to pray to them. I love to talk about them. I love to give their summary of their life, an episode in their life. No. And you know, I think that's good. Do you? I'm not a Protestant or Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Catholic. No. So when you're going through a dark night, turn to the angels, turn to the saints, and ask them for their help. They'll help you. Then the last images. She says, all that you intended for my soul, O Lord, is steeped in your mercy. You may not see it that way. But even when you're going through incredible trials, God's mercy is always present there. And mercy is another name for love. God's love for the sinner. There's a nice, succinct, concise definition of mercy. God's love for the sinner. Okay, so those are three ideas I glean from that gold mine. Okay, and I lay that in your minds and your hearts and your souls. Okay. Okay, number 117, I'm just going to give you a summary of it and then we'll read it. 117 is a number that is very serious and it's related to fraternal charity. And I think we've maybe fallen in this area, but I'll give you a summary of it and we'll read it. When someone, usually someone in our family or our community, is going through a very difficult time, is carrying a very heavy cross, don't add to that cross. For the love of God. So if Faustine would say that, that could be a mortal sin. Yep, yep. What would not be a mortal sin, but in that circumstance, it could be a mortal sin because of the very vulnerable, delicate, precarious state of soul that that person is in. And what she's going to point out, often it's the other way around. We see someone suffering and we add to it. You ever hear the expression, it's the straw that broke the camel's back? Yes. Spanish, they say, la gota que había derramado el vaso, right? Right over here? In Spanish, you actually say, it's the drop that tipped the glass over, so to speak. Made the water overflow, no? Same idea, no? Different proverb, same concept. Yeah, this is a number that it's a number that scares me. I tell you, to be honest, it scares me. It sparks within me at least fear of the Lord, because we have the tendency. Maybe it's your husband or your son or daughter. You see him; he's in a bad mood. The tendency is to maybe hammer him. Yeah. You're feeling bad. Well, I'll add to it. Don't do that. So what I'm going to try to do right now before we read through it, I'm going to try to give you some ideas what we should do. The problem is this. Sometimes that person is in desolation, but you're going through desolation too, right? And sometimes you got to do it at the same time. But for you to get out of the desolation, probably the best way is by practicing charity toward that person who's going to, and you're both pulled out of desolation. By what did I read? By love. That was my reading today. John 14. Okay, so I'm going to give you some guidelines so that we don't fall into this dangerous pit, which could be a serious infraction or sin against charity. So you notice someone that's in the dumps, if we're going to use that expression. First of all, pray for that person. Say a prayer, say Hail Mary, that God will help to pull that person out of that dunghill, or that, might call it a endless tunnel, but it seems as if there's no light at the end of this tunnel. And maybe you should make a short prayer and thank God when God has pulled you out of those tunnels. There it is. When I was preparing this talk, it came to my mind three biblical persons or passages. And the first is Simon of Cyrene. Simon of Cyrene went out of his way to help Jesus to carry his cross. That's a model for us. Second is Veronica. Veronica went out of her way to help Jesus to clean his face that was had blood, sweat, and tears. Third example would be a passage that Pope Benedict XVI incorporated in his encyclical Sacramenta Caritatis, which when it was published, I think it was the most purchased encyclical in the history of the Catholic Church. Sacramenta Caritatis is Latin for the Sacrament of Charity. Most of you have probably read it 2 or 3 times. Maybe you're reading it before this class. I'm glad you were, Ken. Probably knew that I was going to refer to it, right? He mentions the parable of the Good Samaritan. There you have it. The parable of the Good Samaritan. So those are three biblical passages that exemplify the attitude we should have toward people that are going through, we might say, a very desperate condition. Okay, a few other things. Okay, with this person, probably going to be someone in your family. We all have bad days, right? Okay, this is not going to cost you a lot of money, but smile at that person. Smile, yeah. Hey, you people, I haven't seen you in a long time, but you have a smile on your face, okay? Nothing wrong with smiling, right? And the saints will always say the most evident sign that we're followers of Christ is the joy that is radiated from a smile. Then, St. Faustina, in another number that we'll read eventually, in what year we'll arrive at this, I don't know, but we'll arrive at it. We should always try to practice at least one act of mercy every day, and it can be a prayer, it can be a gesture, can be a word. So, try to be kind to that person. Kindness. We all know what kindness is, right? Try to be kind to that person. Okay, let's move on. Because this is at least this number really touched me. I think we have to we have to comment on what really touches our own heart. Is okay, one of two things depending on the state of soul that the person is in. If the person wants to just talk and unload, to vent, maybe just listen. Sit down, listen for 5 or 10 minutes. Okay? And don't put on your teacher's cap, okay, or your psychologist's cap, or your lawyer's cap, okay? Rather, just put on the Sacred Heart of Jesus that you received in Holy Communion. So often in this case, the person doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be taught. Person just wants to be listened to. Listen attentively. But not like this. Listen, you watch me? Not like this. Could you say that again? And every 90 seconds? You say in Spanish, maleducación, maleducado. No, listen, no? And nod your head. You might even say, maybe even say these two words. I understand. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yep. That's hard. Yeah, okay. You know, I'm going to say a prayer for you tonight. I'm going to offer my rosary for you tonight. Yeah. And you'll get through it. It's really not as bad as it seems. Tomorrow I'll offer my communion for you. Yeah. It seems to be really bad, but you know, I've gone through that also. Yeah. What's going to happen if you do that for 10, 12, 15 minutes? Cloud, that cloud of desolation is going to be lifted. Try it. You know, my friends, that's 50% of the life of a priest. He's taking your burdens, loading them on our shoulders, and placing them on the altar, 50% of our life. Sometimes there are days where it's more than that. And now you say it's a heavy burden. It is, but God gives us the grace. Some people say, how can you, Father, how can you sit in the confessional 3 or 4 hours listening to problems? And I say, how could you possibly be living in the house with 3 teenagers at the same time? Right, Elvira? My parents had 4 at the same time. Why? Because it's called the grace of state. I mean, I'm not called to the married life, no? At the end of the day, I like to be in my room by myself. Well, I'm really not by myself, I'm with God. But That's another thing. Then it might be that the person really is so maybe stunned or mesmerized or with something that's so painful that the person maybe can't say that much. Then you talk. And I don't think it's a bad idea. Learn how to tell a joke. No? Did you ever tell a joke in your life? Okay. Not yet? Well, yeah, you've heard me tell at least 100, right? You can use one of mine, okay? So there you have it. I've given you about 10 suggestions on how not to fall into what we're going to read. Yeah, no, the tendency of our fallen nature, we see someone with a long face. Hey, what's up, pal? Smile. No? Why is life treating you so bad? Come on, knock that face off. Put a big smile on your face. I mean, that's the devil working on us to sin against charity, really. And in all this, remember the golden rule, which is, hello? Treat others the way you want to be treated. We all know what that means, right? St. Paul says, console others with the same consolation that you receive from the Holy Spirit. St. Paul. Console others with the same consolation that we've received through the Holy Spirit. So this diary, I find this diary to be so enlightening and encouraging and for me and challenging. Can we read it? Give me permission?
Yes.
Okay. Ready, Grace? Okay. I will mention here that those who live with such a person, okay, with such a person what? That's going through, he's got a heavy cross. So 116 and 117 are related. Often the numbers are totally disjointed, but there's a connection between these two numbers. Mention here that those who live with such a person should not add external sufferings. There you have it. For indeed, when the soul's cup is full, the little drop we may add to it may be the one drop too much, and the cup of bitterness will overflow. And who will answer for such a soul? Let me tell you a story I heard from Padre Juan Rivas, Radio Cali, before Radio Guadalupe. He was on the radio by himself, Radio Cali, for many years. And I heard this about 20 years ago. And it's one of the most stark and stunning stories I've ever heard. So I'll tell you it next week, okay? Now? Okay. Okay, the story of a couple that they get along well together, and he's a hard worker, but unfortunately they can't have any children. They really won't have children. So after he finishes work, he goes to the pool hall, play billiards, kind of unwind and relax. And years pass, and you know, she's arriving at the point where she's almost beyond the age of having children. One day he comes home and she's just jumping for joy. She said, you know, doctor says, can have a baby. And the guy is so joyful, he runs to the pool hall, and there he's got his pool buddies, and he says, listen, me and my wife were going to have a child after all these years. One guy says, you don't even know where that baby comes from. He went home, pulled out a gun, and killed his wife with the baby, then he killed himself. True story. One thoughtless, sarcastic remark ended up by killing three people. So we have to be, and that's what's going to be following this are the sins of the tongue. That's the preview for probably next week. So we got to be careful. We have to learn how to think before we speak. Our words have consequences. Our words touch other people for good or for bad. Move on. Let us beware of adding to the suffering of others. So instead of adding to their suffering, we want to be a Simon. We want to be a Veronica. We want to be a good Samaritan. Now this might surprise you. I'm going to just mention two saints now. Both St. Ignatius and St. John of the Cross, who lived at the same time, both Spaniards, they're not a Philip Neri. They're not. Totally different temperament. Okay? What was the charism of Philip Neri? He was a jokester. I mean, he was jovial. He liked to tell jokes. He liked to tell stories, kind of pranks. He was the John Bosco of the 16th century. Whereas Ignatius, St. Benedict, as well as St. John of the Cross, tend to be a little bit more serious, right? But I don't know if any of you have ever read the life of these two saints. When Ignatius met someone in his house or community that was in desolation, he would tell a joke or do something funny. Also St. John of the Cross. These saints, they seem to be pretty sober, pretty serious, very ascetical, fasting and the dark night of the soul. You know? But this keen sense of fraternal charity toward the brothers, they saw that there was a brother in desolation, they maybe tell a joke or smile or maybe do something kind of silly to kind of pull them out. These are two saints that are known to be very serious. How great the saints are. Huh? How they're filled with love, you know? Understanding, compassion, common sense too. We have to learn from the saints, following their footsteps. Eventually, some of you will maybe see the movie Full of Grace. Any of you see it? Full of Grace. I recommend that you see it. It's the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary after Jesus goes up to heaven. So it's the life, it's fiction, but it's, I think it's pretty well done. I guess I'm the only one that has seen this. No? Mary? Yeah. Eric? What'd you think? I thought it was great. So you see that the early problems of the church, And then Mary gives her last discourse before she dies. That was my favorite part of the movie. I know for Eric and Mary, remember, that what touched me most about her last discourse was this. She said, you're all going to have to suffer. And they're all going to be martyrs except St. John. Okay? And what she said is this. Remember the first time that Jesus looked at you with love. Cherish that moment. Remember the first time that Jesus looked at you with love. And cherish that. And that will help you to get through the desolation. Now you people have done the exercises. Remember the first time in the exercise when Jesus really spoke to you with love. Can you recall the day? No? I think you should. Well, you're going to be casting me into desolation, man. All the work I've done these 10 years, no? You're here tonight because Jesus looked at you with love. And you felt that not simply here, but in the depths of your heart. You did. You might even ask that in prayer tonight. You had 70 meditations, right? 10 weeks? There was something that happened in that program that touched your heart, right? Maybe it was related to your confession. Who knows? Your examination, conscience, getting it all out, and you came out. You just feel Jesus gave you a huge embrace, like the prodigal son or prodigal daughter. Ah. Call to mind that. What do we hear in the scripture of the Old Testament? Always remember the deeds of the past. Remember the deeds of the past. What do good families do when they come together? They reminisce. My family does. I see my family once a year. Reminisce. We recall the good old days. No? Funny things that have happened. No? Circumstances that kind of brought us together as a cohesive body, no? Recall. Call to mind. Reminisce. So let's move on. Let us beware of adding to the suffering of others. Because that is displeasing to the Lord. If the sisters of the superiors knew or even suspected that a soul was suffering such trials, and they nevertheless added still other sufferings, here we have it, they would be sinning gravely. And God himself would demand an account of them on behalf of such a soul. Pretty strong language, huh? It's true. I'm not speaking here of instances which of their very nature are sinful, but of things which in other circumstances would not be sinful. So what is she saying? It depends on the spiritual condition of that individual. And we have to be aware of that. Having spiritual discernment, I think a little bit of common sense too. We should be able to pick up the vibes. Let us be on guard against having the weight of such a soul on our conscience. Okay, let's backtrack. Okay, say for example we do have the weight of that soul on our conscience. Do we have hope? Well, pray for that person. And maybe next time you see the person, try to say something kind to the person. And God is so filled with love. Love covers a multitude of sins. You ever hear that? St. Peter. Love covers a multitude of sins. So your transgression can be washed away by an act of love done on your part. So she never gave in to discouragement. Always be filled with hope, even amidst our failures. Start again. Nung Chepi. This is a grave and common defect in religious life. Oh boy. To pray for us, no? And one of the things that exists everywhere in families is sibling rivalry between maybe the two sons or maybe the son and the daughter. You know, the devil of jealousy can insinuate himself in all communities. Say Pope Francis, I spoke about this about 3 weeks ago, he gave us signposts of holiness. Remember we talked about that? He gave four. One is patience, perseverance, meekness, one. Number two would be strength, being courageous. Number three would be sense of humor and joy in a sense of humor. Number four is building up community. Five is constant prayer. That's chapter four of the new document of the Holy Father. Gaudete exaltate. But build up community. You know, what tears down community is often it's jealousy, rivalry, envy, comparisons. Do you ever compare yourself to anyone? It's pretty common, huh? You know, comparisons are odious. My spiritual director once said, you know, that's odious. No? Because if you compare yourself with someone, how do you feel afterward? You always feel depressed, right? Inevitably. I mean, you compare yourself, you're always going to feel depressed. That's a sign of the bad spirit. So here's a good little story from the life of another saint. You know who the patron saint of the oblate novices are? I didn't think you know, so I'll tell you. Okay, a saint that you probably none of you have ever heard, Saint Stanislaus Kostka. Oh, okay. He was a Polish Jesuit saint that died. He was about 20 years old, so very, very young. So we've taken him, because we have a Jesuit spirituality, as the patron of the novices. Do you know what the patron of our theologians would be? I didn't think you know, so I'll tell you. Now this one I don't think you know. You're going to be one for two. St. John Berkmans. And none of you ever heard of him. Okay? But you might even look, you might even Google it in tonight or tomorrow. Flemish saint. Okay, St. John Berkmans. And he died when he was about 21. And here's a beautiful story. that I was told, I think, when I was in office about 35 years ago. He said he was in a religious community, and he was studying theology. He's going to die studying theology, and Kosk is going to die as a novice. And he lived with brothers and priests, and those were the days when you had a lot of vocations. So he pulled out a sheet of paper, and he wrote down in the sheet of paper all the members in the community. And what he did was, in the sheet of paper, he wrote down the brother and the priest, and next to it, a good quality, an attribute, a good quality of this individual. For example, Brother Herman, great cook. Brother Thomas, great gardener. Brother Philip, great sense of humor. Brother Heathcliff, very punctual, like everyone in Perseverance here, okay? And then after that, he went through the priests. Father Peter, great preacher. Then Father John works very well with the poor. Father Stephen, great theologian. Father Paul, incredible missionary spirit, like the Apostle Paul. Father Matthew, great superior. So he had a name, virtue, and he turned that into a litany of thanksgiving. There was only one person that was not on the list, and it happened to be the only one of the group that was canonized. Hello? He was the only one that was not on the list, and he happened to be the only one that was canonized. Like it? What would happen if you did that to your family? Husband, son, daughter, all these different attributes. Because we have a tendency to sometimes see the negative. We see the kind of the wart on the nose. No? We see the gray hair. No? We see the negative. We see the wrinkles. No? We smell the bad breath. That's called the effect of original sin, is we see the negative rather than the positive. Now, what would happen if every family... What would happen if every family tried to put that into practice? Hello? Families would really be transformed, right? A couple of years ago, Father Mariano de Blas came and he did a wedding here. And one of the things he said in his homily, this is a couple of years ago, I really liked. He's been in Radio Guadalupe for many years. Great guy, holy man. He said to the couples, every day you should try to do something that's going to please your spouse. How many people here are married? Is that John and Sarah back there? Oh, there you go. Okay, I see. How many are married here? What would happen every night? You're saying your night prayers. You made the decision. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this act of charity or kindness to my husband. You do it before you go to bed. Then you say Hail Mary, and you beg for the grace to carry that out. Good idea? Gerard, do you like that? Raquel, do you like it? Un poquito, no, no tanto, no? Que él se lo haga a mí, yo espero, no? No, I mean, think about that. What a great idea. So instead of thinking negatively about your spouse before you go to bed, you think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So you're winning the game by practicing sacrifice, going out of yourself, and you're inundating your family with love. I read that an hour ago at the beginning of the class. The last and greatest commandment of Jesus Christ is the commandment of love. And you know the early community? How did they know that the first Christian community were Christians? How did they know? What was the sign? Ever? Well, it wasn't so much their preaching. It was how they loved each other. That they really loved and respected each other. And even though maybe they didn't say a lot of words, that witness of fraternal charity was enough to convert, at the beginning of the church, hundreds, if not thousands. So all this is related to this number 117. It's all related. I see this, if you want a title for it, it's trying to live out fraternal charity. And fraternal charity, of course, is the greatest of all virtues. We've got a few Mexican poets here. I could maybe quote a little bit of Spanish poetry for you if you like. And I'll translate it into English. According to many, the greatest writer in the Spanish language was not Cervantes or Don Quixote, but it was San Juan de la Cruz. San Juan de la Cruz. According to many, the greatest writer. And he's written some beautiful poetry, no? And this is what he said. En el ocaso de nuestra existencia, seremos juzgados sobre el amor. I repeat, en el ocaso de nuestra existencia, seremos juzgados sobre el amor. How's your Spanish? It's terrible. Okay. Some of you are kind of limping along, right? I'll translate. En el ocaso, that's in the twilight. De nuestra existencia, Rosa, of our existence, seremos juzgados sobre el amor. Elvira? We'll be judged on love. In the twilight of our existence, we're going to be judged on love. That's St. John the Cross. It's probably was one of my favorite quotes from St. John of the Cross because it's so applicable. If you want another one by St. Francis de Sales, I won't say it in French, but I'll say it in English, okay? You listening? The love, the measure with which we should love God is to love Him without measure. I love that one, huh? The measure with which we should love God is to love Him without measure. So let's pray. As we read the last phrase, I do not say that everyone acts like this, but there are some. We take the liberty of passing all sorts of judgments, repeat them, when we would do better to remain silent. So let's pray that we will be a source of encouragement. We'll be like Simon the Cyrene. We'll be like the Good Samaritan. We'll be like Veronica. And I'll mention one more. We'll be like Barnabas. The word Barnabas means son of encouragement. So let's pray for the grace to be able to encourage people and help them to patiently carry their crosses as God's helped us so much. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit,